Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good for nothing, no commas in his bank account.
All right, New River Valley, welcome back. This is Mark Tapp with Keith Weltons, and you're listening to AM Hodgepodge.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your feedback on that song.
I do like it. I've heard it. I mean, I know that that's actually, you know, it's funny because it used to be that you would have particularly rap musicians borrow pop music. And now you've got, a lot of times you'll have country borrow rock music. But, I mean, I like it. I don't.
Right. I'm not. Do you remember who did that riff? Or what that? I got faces like, oh, I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Paul, you know?
No, I don't know.
It took me a few minutes to figure it out. I knew it, and I was like,
It's a. It's not like REO Speedwagon or something like that. Who is it?
It's a soloist.
Soloist?
Yeah.
He was a
big, it a one-hit wonder?
No.
No.
It's one of the biggest artists of all time.
Eric Clapton's?
No. He was a... Him and Freddie Mercury did a few things together. He passed away about 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Oh, it's...
got people out there listening. No. Going, I know who it is.
I know. It's from Minneapolis.
He was British.
Oh, okay. I don't know who.
He was blonde.
Who? Just say it.
David Bowie.
Was that really?
Yeah. Rebel.
Yeah, that's right. Now I know it. That's right.
I was like, oh.
So his stuff's getting stolen by everybody.
Well, I doubt if they're stealing it. I'm sure they're paying a pretty penny to borrow those riffs.
Yeah.
The David Bowie estate is doing just fine.
That's right. Yeah. Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to AM Hodgepodge. If you've missed a past episode or any of this show, have no fear. You can just go to amhodgepodge.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and shoot us a story, look at some pics, have a few laughs. Stuff like that.
So you were going to talk about some beer.
Yeah. So for those of you who are out there who do enjoy a beer, and if you do travel and it's not by plane, first of all, bring us some beer back. So wherever you go, if you have a good beer and there's a story attached to it, we don't mind having those beers and kind of hearing your story and reliving your portion of your vacation through a beer with you. So we throw that out there, and once August or September comes, we'll see what we've got, and we'll kind of pick it up from there. Now, I flew, so this was an opportunity to just try stuff, but then you're trying it, and you're like, well, I can't bring back anything because I'm not going to do all that. But anyway, because the Legion doesn't allow you.
Yeah.
So
did you check the terms of agreement?
Well, you can't bring anything but more than like 2 ounces through the TSA. So
well, you check it. Did you?
There's no check luggage.
Well, there is, but you didn't pay for it.
So. No, there's no chucks. Yes. So anyway,
they just fly around with an empty hole.
Backpack.
Yeah.
And you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Put more people down there.
Yeah. So we were in Daytona. So
Freak of the skies.
Yeah. That's right. So I tried Michael Waltrip beers.
Uh-huh.
And I bought.
That's right. You showed me that.
Yeah.
That was a cool can.
Can looks cool.
Yeah.
Beer's terrible. And like really bad. And I did buy limes then to put into there, and it made it slightly, it made it palatable, but it didn't change the fact that it was just really not. I don't want to hurt anyone's feeling. I don't like that. Beer was really not good. Now, there was an orange one that if you drank the orange one, that one was better. For sure.
That was a Michael Waltrip orange beer?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was tangerine.
Okay.
Tangerine lager.
Was it supposed to, oh, it was a lager.
Yeah.
Wasn't an IPA?
No.
Huh.
No. And I stopped after that.
Kinda
I was
like
not going to.
Shandy.
Yeah, I was not going to run the shoot of all of the different,
yeah,
the different ones from there. So did try beers, local beers at the places that we ate. Nothing was really, you know, kind of like phenomenal. But I will tell you that the marketing on those beers is actually pretty good. I mean, it was a really cool, yeah, cool. Have you seen that before, the Michael Waltrip?
No, I haven't seen it.
So I'm bringing this up because not only is it a racing style logo on it, but racing in general is vogue, right? So people like the Indy 500 style cars, the Le Mans style cars, that kind of racing is massively back in vogue. And I think it's two reasons. First of all, it's my, the ability to race in those styles of vehicles, what I didn't realize, it's a pay your way style of an event. So you can have, let's say, $1 billion, and you can put your own car together, and you can pay the entrance fee, and you can race. You don't need a you just pay your whole way. So these, wow, people who are doing like the Le Mans, these French, and that may be Le Mans, I don't know, I'm struggling with all the names, but I knew though that they'll do in like Dubai and they'll go all over the place. Those people are paying their way in. So if you haven't seen it, and I'll maybe I'm dropping the knowledge, but if you haven't seen it, the U.S. Olympics is getting ready to happen in a couple of weeks. You guys aware of that?
Yeah, Paris, right?
It's Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the U.S. logoed uniforms for Paris is all of the colors, instead of running straight up and down, they're all running sideways, like racing stripes. And they've done that in order to do two things. First, with the, it's like the red, white, and blue, but it replicates far closer to the layout within the thickness of the bars of the French flag. Yeah. So it does a nice little ode, yeah, to them. The second is they've added smaller striping through these thicker blocks, and they're racing stripes. And Polo, or Ralph Lauren, is always makes all of the clothing. But they've done it in order to create racing striped U.S. attire for the Paris Olympics. And that's because they know who their market is, which is typically the wealthier person. And they have this group that's going to buy the heck out of these things. So if you haven't noticed that, Mark, you're, wow, going to getting ready to see it. But it is actually kind of cool. I mean, you look at it, and it looks a lot like Michael Waltrip's racing lines. In fact, that's the reason why I got it.
You're talking about, yeah, sorry, I've kind of phased out. I was looking for music, but you're, yeah, talking about Polo, Ralph Lauren's,
yeah,
yeah, uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah, uniforms. They look a lot like that can.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, they look like a lot like that can.
So if you're just like if you're a billionaire, you got too much money, and you're just a little dead inside, then you just buy your way into a race.
They do.
And
yeah,
then you,
yeah,
feel something.
And I did not know that part. I did not know that part, but you can just build your own car, and you can go, and it's a, And if you'd like, you can literally race your own, because they have like their own stocked, you know, series where you'll just buy Porsches or the Lambos or the Maseratis and, wow, you'll race those. And I did not know that yeah, that's
so
what they do.
The Porsche GT3 is track ready.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
That's interesting.
Yep. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guests. We've had these guys here for a segment and a half. And, I know one of the voices, Dan, you're familiar to people at this point in time. We've got Dan McKinney, and he is the executive director at the Radford Chamber of Commerce. And we have Paul Palante. Yeah, we have Paul Palante, and he is owner operator of the
Radford on the River.
Radford on the River. And you know, people obviously know, Paul, we don't need to delve into, you know, your past. We don't want to trip over the skeletons. but you've got, you've been obviously involved in the business community for years. And I know that you took on the River Project, and that really is a labor of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the river is just such a unique and awesome feature of the area, mm-hmm. you know. And the, I think where it kind of falls down sometimes is people don't know how to get on it.
Right.
You drive over it on all these bridges and mm-hmm. you drive around, but it's hard to get down there and enjoy it. Everybody's so busy.
Right.
And you think, oh, man, I got to, you know, buy this. I got to shuttle this. We got to have two cars. And we are trying to make it easy.
Yeah.
So you just show up and get ready to have some fun, and we take care of the rest.
Yeah, and with obviously guests coming into town now, and you've got different offerings that hotels can provide, so they can help, no pun intended, but shuttle people towards the river, and they'll say, here's a great amenity, and people can kind of find you, you know, not only who live here,
yep.
but the hotels and I think the business community, the more that we're aware of what it is that you do, the ability for us to kind of be a conduit for those individuals when they get here is kind of a big thing. And I know that you're shaking your head. What I want to do is maybe take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll just build off of not only that conversation as far as a call to action for visitors and the business community, but then you can tell us a little bit about what that experience looks like.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Everybody stick with us. You're listening to
AM Hodgepodge.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now, getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired.